Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It is the Steve Jones Show as we hit day two. Well, technically, what is it, four of the NCAA tournament? I mean, if you're actually really counting the first four couple of games, so I guess today would be day four. Already in the books, a minor upset, a 10-7 matchup between Syracuse and Dayton. Syracuse winning it 70-51. Villanova hold serve over UNC Asheville, 86-56. Those are the two finals already in today. 9:30 to go in the second. Oregon State, another 10-7 matchup against VCU. Oregon State leading that one 51-49. This is the one that has everybody kind of concerned. I mean, it was kind of a joke on Dan Patrick, actually. Hawaii leads Cal 36-30. Now, it is only the half. But Hawaii, the 13 seed, leading 36-30. Middle Tennessee State right now, early on, really scoring at will against Michigan State. The 15 leading the number 2, 20-10. If Michigan State gets dumped off, now I realize this is, like, we're talking the first half of the first half. If they get dumped off, how many brackets are going to be absolutely destroyed with Michigan State being out? Especially when you look at last night's games, Wichita State over Arizona. You know, I would have looked at Wichita State in that game. Some of the other games from later on in the evening, Indiana with the big win over Chattanooga. Stony Brook losing to Kentucky, no big surprise there. But another 11 beating a 6, Gonzaga 68-52 over Seton Hall. That wasn't even close. Then, of course, you have those.
It's all about matchups, which your ilk never takes into.
68-52. I would honestly, though, Steve, I would have liked Gonzaga in that.
Yeah. Gonzaga's guard play is nowhere near the level it was during their great years. That's why they did not win the regular season title in the conference. That's why, had they been in, if they had not won the conference tournament, they would not have made the NCAAs.
Yeah, I mentioned Wichita State, Arizona, yeah, too. And let me ask you this. Did you pick Wichita State in that game?
I talked about it yesterday. It's the first thing I talked about in the show. I said they were extremely dangerous to win that game,
okay,
because first four teams have automatic momentum while other teams do not. And I said every single at-large team had one thing in common entering the game. What do they all have in common? They all are coming off a loss.
I learned that yesterday. But that's the one I thought you were talking about, was Wichita State, Arizona.
It was. Michigan State was down early.
Bad.
By 13. Now they're down 8. I think what we are now seeing is that Middle Tennessee State is remembering it's Middle Tennessee State. Michigan State is remembering it's Michigan State.
Can you imagine how many brackets would be destroyed if Michigan State gets dumped in the first round?
That'd be huge. I can see Tom Izzo right now freaking out on the sidelines. NCAA Wrestling Championships. We'll get you up to date on that first, okay? And that is, we just went through basketball. For Penn State, Nico Megalutis Zane Rutherford, Bo Nickel, Jason Nolf, and Morgan McIntosh. Those five have all advanced to the semifinals. Matt McCutcheon's out of the tournament. Jimmy Gulabon, Jordan Conaway, and Gino Morelli are still alive in consolation. So that's where they are right now at the NCAA Wrestling Championships at Madison Square Garden. The semifinals are tonight. So that's what's coming up. I mean, that's what's on the horizon. And I think that, a lot of people are interested in what's going on. But I'll tell you what's also interesting. All right. My guess is wrestling is going to get its largest audience ever. I'm going to predict it's going to crack 700,000. I wouldn't be surprised to get to 750,000. I mean, you'd think that, right, Kev?
You know, with the coverage that they're getting now and the where it is and the popularity in the East alone, I think that all has a big play to it.
So I think that'll happen, okay? Now here's the other part. The first four game between Michigan and Tulsa the other night on True TV drew 2.2 million viewers. That's the name brand.
Yeah.
Right, that again, because remember Dale from Sunbury called and asked why they have two 11s facing each other in that, and I said, look, it's all about TV. And I said getting a name brand like Michigan was really important to them to play in that game, and it's going to draw eyeballs to the TV set. Well, this is a play-in game as opposed to the national championship. They got 2.2 million viewers. All right, before we get to anything else, the National Football Foundation and College Hall of Fame is having its dinner Sunday. James Franklin will be one of the speakers, along with Sandy Barber and Todd Rucci. Ron Pavlechko is the president of it. Pav now joins us. And, Pav, welcome. Great to have you with us. A lot of money's been handed out over this, a very special time. And I know it's been very special for everyone involved because it recognizes so many in college as well as high school.
I think it's really a recognition that there is an organization which honors scholar athletes. It's not necessarily about most tackles and most touchdown passes, but it's coupled with success in the classroom and really excellence in the classroom, as well as excellence in the community. And that's both the school, whether it's the high school or the college, and the community, the local geographical area in which that school resides.
In fact, over the years, in this 20-county coverage area, you've been able to award $208,000 in scholarship money. 661 scholar athletes have received this money over time. What have the sponsors meant to allow this to happen?
They're really the rock upon which our organization is built. And there have been sponsors who have been here over those 19 years, such as Gardner's Candies, M&T Bank, Del Grosso's Foods, and Mariana's Fundraisers. They are really the rock upon which we can do what it is that we do.
And also an opportunity for everybody to see these young people that are there at this banquet. How gratifying is that day to you and the culmination of it to see them all in the room at the same time? Because it's not also college players are also honored here as well.
That's correct. And I guess the word would probably be awesome, Steve, to sit, you know, and as president, I sit at that head table to look down over the people who have gathered. And it really is awesome to see kids, and it's gratifying for me to be able to hand them, whether it's their plaque as a scholar athlete or their scholarship as one of the scholarship winners. It really is gratifying for me to see the look upon their faces of being recognized in a setting like that. And I must say, we also have adult awardees, and it's no different from them. I remember a couple of years ago, Dan Leitzel, a local official, football and wrestling and baseball. And Dan was, I can just remember the smile upon his face, sitting there with all of his friends and family at his table, and coming up to receive his award and giving his talk of acceptance. It's no different than those 17, 18, 19-year-old kids and their looks.
Yeah, I remember. That was one of the ones I emceed, and Dan's speech was tremendous. This time, Jim Roth of Southern Columbia, Justin Wheeler of Bishop Guilfoyle, Bernie McGowan is going to be honored as well. You also have Eugene Parker of Altoona. Amy Smearman will get an award as well, and Terry Bowser from Mountain Union will get the Fran Fisher Award. So it's more than just young people getting awards. Others who have been key contributors over the years get awards too.
That's right. That's right. It really is. You know, it runs the spectrum from those young high school graduating seniors onto those guys such as Bernie McGowan, who has spent, I think it's 55 or 56 years contributing to football. And he gets the Lifetime Achievement Award this year, and I think it's very fitting for Bernie.
Yeah, no question about that. This is going to take place on Sunday. It's also open to the public, isn't it, Ron?
That is correct, and they can still call me for tickets. My number is 814-466-7244 or 814-470-7033. And we would be glad to have those tickets waiting for them at the desk on Sunday.
James Franklin's there as a guest speaker, athletic director Sandy Barber, and also Todd Rucci. The last four coaches in his life he played for were Joe Paterno, Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, and Bill Parcells. Other than that,
nothing has probably sunk into him, right?
No, incredible. What does it mean to get those kind of speakers there in front of a crowd, especially of young people?
It's astonishing. The words that come out of their mouths and how appropriate it is for those that are gathered. Last year, Jeff Hardings did an absolutely fantastic job, and he brought up all of the rings that he had earned, and he talked about all of the emotions and all of the work behind those rings. Just truly, truly terrific, and I truly believe that Todd this year is going to be just as good as Jeff was with his experience with those coaches you mentioned and what he's doing now with his life.
And again, this is the National Football Foundation and College Hall of Fame Central Pennsylvania chapter holding its 19th annual Scholar Athlete Awards Dinner. It's Sunday at the Penn State Hotel and Conference Center. Ron, always an absolute pleasure. Best of luck with this.
Thanks very much, Steve, for your interest and your support.
Ron Pavlechko, former head coach at State High, former State High athletic director. And Jim Roth of Southern Columbia is going to be one of the honorees coming up on Sunday. Kevin, I know you have a lot of respect for him.
He I'll tell you what, he's a great guy, athletic director as well at Southern Columbia. We have a lot of great conversations after the football season's over when he actually has a few more minutes. But to be an AD and have the success that he's had in the football season year after year, that tells you his work ethic alone. And he has made some very, very quality student athletes and some developed some great men from Southern Columbia's program.
No question. So it's great that he will be honored at this. Tremendous. We'll come back. We're going to have some comments from yesterday's Pro Day. We're going to get maybe more expanded interviews as well, because I talked to LeVar Arrington yesterday. I talked to Kim Jones from the NFL Network yesterday. LeVar wanted me to say hi to you, by the way. Great respect for everything you've done. Says he loves digital media.
I'm a big fan of his. It's a mutual admiration thing. No autograph? You didn't give an autograph? You didn't get an autograph?
Oh,
come on, man.
Just when the headaches were starting to go away. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
Okay, we're going to have some comments from some of the players at yesterday's Pro Day. We'll get to that in the next half hour. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Antoine Blake is no longer a Steeler. You were kind of crushed by that.
No, not really.
Yeah, typical Steeler fan. Right, you know, out with the bathwater. Doesn't matter.
The question is, who's next? That's what Steeler fans ask. Who's next? I
mean, again, you know, it's just, if they're a member of the Steelers.
Who's stepping up next? That's the only question.
Dick is at the Cal-Hawaii game.
Hawaii was leading the last I saw. They're still up. What? Oh, they're up 43-34.
Yeah, I know they are. I know. I'm well aware. So this is the text Dick sent me. He did a couple things he wanted from me. Then he sends me, by the way, I am at Spokane Arena for Cal Hawaii. That would be, my friend, number 161.
Oh, that's for this ongoing competition that you two have.
Yes, yes. I was 23 behind when the season began. I'm now 25 behind. I got to see Sasquatch in a huge waterfall downtown near the arena. How neat. Also saw Johnny Holiday last night at the hotel and just now.
Wait, Sasquatch?
Yes. It must be some statue downtown.
Oh, okay. That's what I was trying to. I'm like, okay, where was Sasquatch downtown? There's something you don't see every day.
Okay, this is Spokane, okay? Saw Johnny Holiday last night at a hotel and just now wants me to say hi to you. Also gave us more great Howard Cosell stories, which Johnny does. Oh, my goodness, does Johnny give great. And he impersonates Cosell so well. Because when Johnny was on ABC Radio, his spot would follow Howard. So Howard was still on the line. And he had, Johnny had me in stitches one night telling, he was telling Dick and me Howard Cosell stories. And we were doubled over. We were laughing so hard. None of which we can tell in the air. All right, so.
Did you ever read Howard's book there?
No.
I enjoyed that.
You know what? You know what was sad was when Frank Gifford died, they told a story, Kathy Lee Gifford did, that when Howard Cosell was dying, he'd call Frank up, and Frank, all these friends I had all these years, nobody calls me. They've all abandoned me, Frank. They've all abandoned me. Because Howard treated everybody lousy. And Frank Gifford said to Kathy Lee, in her story, she said, you should go see him. And he says, I don't want to see him. He treated me terribly every day I was around him. She convinced him to go, and Frank went to see him. And then he saw him, I think, like once a month for a long period of time. He said, it's one of the best things he ever did. So, no, I didn't read Howard's book. How to Treat People and Succeed? No.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's NCAA tournament weekend. Okay. wrestling tonight, tomorrow night, basketball today, tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday. You want to be running around? It's supposed to snow on Sunday. Nothing like ushering in the first day of spring with that. So go to Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury. They don't call it the beverage supermarket for nothing. I love going in there and stocking up, and I've done it. Every time I go into Sunbury to see Kevin, I stock up. Imports, domestics, microbrews. I want to make sure I'm not short-handed. Also, water, soda, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And that pickle bar is second to none. I love the barrel pickles and the dill pickles. The best. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Michigan State's down 5 at halftime.
BCU up, let's see, 8.
Game's over.
8 with 24.8 to go.
No, game's over. BCU's won.
You got to stop because I'm on a delay. You just ruined it for me now.
Yeah, but I've worked with you now for 4-plus years. I know that you've been on a delay.
Well, and the other thing is you've ruined many sports for me now. So,
why? By being real?
By realism. Don't like it.
Yeah, VCU is one of those I picked. So those are, you know.
Those 10-7s, like if you're in a tournament, if you're in a pool that gives you bonus points for up-picking the right upsets, 10-7, you can make a lot of points on those.
Yeah. Let's get to this day in sports history. Then we'll hear from some of the players from yesterday's workouts. In 1892, Frederick Arthur Lord Stanley of Preston announced he had purchased a trophy to present it to the ice hockey champion of Canada, the Stanley Cup. 1945, Maurice Rocket Richard became the first NHL player to score 50 goals. You know what the key was? It was 50 goals in 50 games.
That's a nice little percentage.
1953, the National League owners approved the move of the Boston Braves to Milwaukee. The first franchise shift since 1903. 1970, the NFL and Wilson agreed that Wilson would be the official football. To this day, they still are the official football.
All right.
That's this day in sports history. VCU has won. Syracuse won big today. No problem for them. Let's see. Hawaii leads Cal 47-45 at the under 12. Halftime, Middle Tennessee leads Michigan State by 6, 41-35. And Iowa leads Temple 30-20 with about 8 minutes to go in the first half. Syracuse won big. Villanova won big today. Okay. Angelo Mangiero showed some versatility yesterday at the workout. Talked about how things went for him.
Chance to get out there. So how do you feel like you took advantage of your chance today?
Feel good. Yeah, I feel good. You know, prepared hard for, you know, 8-10 weeks or whatever it was. And, you know, feedback that I've got has been good and felt good. My execution of stuff, and gotta see now.
It's a totally different preparation getting ready for a game. What was the adjustment like, just saying, okay, I have to get ready for combine day?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, I took a lot of the same preparation, you know, and I knew today was going to be hectic, and during the combine process, the pro day process of training, you know, you focus on one particular drill, you know, for an hour or so, and you work that and rep that drill. Unfortunately, you don't have that on pro day. And but, you know, I was prepared for the drills. I understood the process and how quick the tempo was going to be of today. I've done 2 mock pro days already today. So, like in game situations on Saturdays, if you're prepared film-wise and know your opponent, you're going to be okay. So
that was Angelo Mangiaro. Then I had a chance to talk to Christian Hackenberg. Ironically, I didn't realize that Christian wasn't going to do any interviews yesterday. I didn't realize that. I just pulled him aside and said, do you want to talk for a minute or two? He goes, oh, for you I will. I'm like, okay. Thought that was kind of cool. And then the other one was with Kim Jones. And so I had a chance to ask, and Christian had a phenomenal day yesterday, 44 of 52. He had 21 passes in a row.
What was your overall feel for your day today?
Yeah, it felt really good. Jordan and I had a set of goals coming in, just spinning the ball, consistent footwork, really clean. Felt like we were able to accomplish that. So I'm really thankful for the guys that were able to come out and catch the balls for me. And for teammates coming out and supporting as well. So it was really good. Just crisp, clean, felt really good about it.
In your development, what did Coach Ronnie mean to you here?
Yeah, Coach Ronnie meant a lot. He and I have been through a lot together. He's an awesome person. I look up to him a lot. Definitely a mentor in my life, and he's an awesome human being, and I wish nothing but the best for him in the future.
How much better were you today compared to Indianapolis?
Yeah, I felt like I got a lot better. I think it was just more consistent. I got in the flow of things. We had Indy's a little bit different, so I think just being able to get in the flow of things, get really comfortable, throw the ball, do everything I want to do. I was able to do that. I felt really good about it. So Indy was what it was, but it was good here, and I'm really, really excited about moving forward the next couple months, see what happens.
Everybody, how do you feel?
And the other, I want to mention one thing. You mentioned Jordan at the beginning. Jordan is Jordan Palmer, Carson Palmer's brother. Jordan Palmer is the guy that's been working with him closely in California through all of this. So then when you heard Christian reference Jordan, that's who he meant. Then an opportunity to talk with Carl Nassib.
This particular day went for you.
Today was fun. I thought I got after it, and some new things that I learned today. So I thought it went really well.
You went through Indianapolis. Was this different from Indianapolis in some ways?
Oh, much different, much different. You know, you're on your home turf, no pun intended. And it was much less stressful and much more fun hanging out with you and your teammates and be back at Penn State. It's awesome.
Right. For you, is this really a dream in this process for you, considering how far you've had to come, the fact that you're even out here and getting a lot of run?
Yeah, it's definitely a dream. It's a dream for all of us just to, put on an NFL jersey and get in front of all those fans. And it's definitely a dream and that all of us have had and that I've had. And we've worked hard to get this way. So.
2 years with Coach Spencer, what did he mean to your development?
Coach Spencer really helped me in my development. I can't stress that enough, how much he helped me with the way that I approach the game, my technique, and I'm very lucky to have a coach like him.
So that's Carl Nassib and his thoughts. Nassib, of course, had an incredible senior year. Carl struggled a little bit on some of the bag work. I'm talking about the footwork part, but everything else was strong. And I talked with Jack Ham today, and the first thing Jack said to me was, he says, Steve, they need to rack up a tape of him. The second they rack up a tape of him, he's going to get picked. There's one thing I did notice. Carl's 10, 20, and 40 were all really good yesterday. And that 10 and 20 is that boom, that burst, that takeoff, that get out of there, get off the mark, and get that angle on a tackle. That's that 10-20 burst right there, and he had it yesterday. As for Anthony Zettel, interesting day for him out there in a lot of ways. He looked really sharp.
To you, how do you think he did today?
I think he did really well. Great performance, played multiple positions today, and got the job done.
What did Coach Spencer mean? He had him the last 2 years. What did he end up meaning to what your development as a player?
I think he just the biggest thing with Coach Spence is he's a player's coach. We love playing for him. We love going on the field playing for him. And it's just like when you have that respect for someone, you really just give maximum effort every play. And it's also just he gives you the opportunity. He lets you do what you're naturally comfortable doing. If it's something you're not comfortable doing, he ain't going to let you do it because it's not going to put you in the best position for success.
What were a couple of subtle differences between Indianapolis and then doing it here in your own home turf?
Biggest thing is just rest. I mean, you're going off in Indianapolis. You're going off nonstop, no sleep. It's constant, just wear and tear mentally, physically. But here, you get a good night's sleep in your own bed, rest, everything. So you feel a lot better pro days.
And he also worked yesterday at tight end, by the way, Anthony Zettel did. That's one of you heard him talk about, oh, yeah, multiple positions. Well, yeah, he worked at multiple positions, all right, because guess what? He also worked at tight end yesterday. And Anthony told me, I said, where are you weight-wise? He said 275 was the number today. Not bad. What about Austin Johnson? Many people think he could be the first player off the board for Penn State. Right now rated the number 47 prospect, which is the second round. So I talked to him about how things went.
What kind of day do you think you had?
I think I did really well. You know, just kind of missing me through the bags and, you know, just them sending me back and stuff like that. I mean, I responded pretty well. And, you know, I just trying to go through the bags as soon as I can to do what I do well. And that's DeAndre's.
All right, it's one thing that you watch guys do this before when you come out here other years. Now yeah. You had to do it. What yeah. was the whole experience like of having to go through this, including Indianapolis?
I think that in Indianapolis it was I feel like it was easier. Had a bigger group, had one time to do everything. And when you're here, you have obviously less amount of people. But you know, just watching over the past couple of years, I feel like I did pretty well just watching Jordan and Daquan and all those guys go through it. It was a pretty cool situation for me to be in, in that category with those guys. So I think it was pretty cool.
It's one job interview.
That is Austin Johnson. And it was great. I was able to pull the guys aside one at a time, get some one-on-one time with each of them to sit down and talk with us. And appreciate it very much that they took the time to do that. Today, by the way, spring practice gets underway. We'll talk to Donnie Collins coming up. Still have Tony DeFazio to talk to as well. We got a lot going on today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet. And our thanks to Christian Hackenberg, Austin Johnson, Anthony Zettel, Carl Nassib, and Angelo Mangiero for carving out some time for us yesterday to be on today's show. I think that'll be an interesting half hour in the old podcast, don't you think, Kevin?
I think that'll get a few hits.
We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, in case you missed it, Christian Hackenberg, Angelo Mangiero, Anthony Zettel, Austin Johnson, Carl Nassib, all from yesterday's workouts, and their thoughts on how well they did yesterday and where they felt they did fine and where, you know, they also felt where they got better over Indianapolis. I'll tell you, though, who quietly was the guy that was the workout wonder yesterday was Brandon Johnson. You're saying Brandon Johnson? Brandon Johnson? Out of the Harrisburg area. Running back. You only saw him a little bit late in games. He's an unbelievable athlete. Austin Johnson went, I think Austin Johnson's vertical was really good, but Brandon Johnson went 39 and a half inches on the vertical. Then he ran 4.38 and 4.40 in the 40. Pretty impressive. I mean, now, he looks like he could, I mean, it was, well, you know, like when Kevin takes his shirt off, same look. It's just no. So, I mean, for people in the area, you know.
Yes, when I Photoshop it.
Well, if I were you, I'd Photoshop it with Brandon. But, that's great. Hey, they're always looking for athletes. John Gingrich, the heavyweight wrestler, went yesterday. And I'll be frank with you. John did not have a great day. He looked a little lost out there with some things he was doing because it's just not – he's not used to doing stuff like that. You can work out for it all you want, but he seemed a little lost out there. But, you know, so I was like, why is he doing this? And I said, hey, look at Chris Hogan. Just signed a 3-year, $12 million deal with the New England Patriots. 3-year, $12 million. he went to Penn State, you know. He graduated from Penn State. Now, tell me, how many passes did Chris Hogan catch at Penn State? None. Because Chris Hogan didn't play football at Penn State. He played lacrosse at Penn State. And then after he got his degree here, he played 1 year of football at Monmouth. Then he kind of bounced around a little bit, then got to the Bills practice squad where he caught everything. Well, then they elevated him, had a really great year. And I talked to Greg Roman yesterday, the Bills offensive coordinator. They were disappointed to lose him. But 3 years, $12 million, you're just not going to go out and match that. He's not going to. But he did not play football here at Penn State at all. Like Chuck Crist. Chuck Crist, who had, what, an 8-year career with the Giants and the New Orleans Saints, is back in the 70s. Chuck Crist played basketball here. The only time he went to football was in the stands. Same thing with Chris Hogan. Only football games he attended here. The only time he ever went by the football practice field is when he had to cross the street to go to lacrosse practice. I mean, that's it. So they're looking for anybody anywhere. That's why I don't blame John Gingrich for giving it a shot. Now, John probably should have done something a little different. I mean, John did have a year of eligibility left to play football. No, he was done with his football, with his wrestling eligibility. It probably would have behooved John, and they had talked to him about this, and he decided not to do it. It would have behooved him to come out and be on the football team last year and go through all those drills. But it didn't. But that's a different story, different time. And wrestling today, Nico Megalutis, Jason Nolf, Bo Nickel, Zane Rutherford, Morgan McIntosh, all advancing to tonight's semifinals. Penn State still has 5 alive that can win national championships. And the only one that is out is Matt McCutchen. The other 3, Goulibon, Conaway, and Morelli, are still alive in the consolations. And all those three have a chance to be All-Americans. Of course, the 5 I mentioned, they're going to be wrestling in the semifinals tonight. They are now already All-Americans because they're in the semifinals. For Nico Megalutis, that makes him a 4-time All-American. But they did not; those 5 did not go there with the idea of being All-Americans. Those 5 went there with the idea of being at the top of the podium when it was done. So the semifinals are tonight on ESPNU.
Also, Joe Stolfi of Bucknell, he lost in a decision in the WrestleBacks this morning, 6-1.
So he's done.
I believe, and I'm searching, I can't remember the weight, but I think there was one other Bucknell wrestler that was in. I think it was Tom Slay. I think that was their 184. He won his first,
beat McCutchen. Yeah, he beat McCutchen.
That's right, yes. He beat McCutchen 4-1, then lost by fall to Gabriel Dean, the number 1 seed out of Cornell. I'm trying to see where he fell into the WrestleBacks.
Okay.
Give me a second. This is really small print.
Well, this will take a while.
He lost in the WrestleBacks.
I texted Dick back. I said, Sasquatch is pretty cool.
Can't beat Sasquatch.
I also told him to send a message to Johnny Holiday for me, too. So, Johnny, one of the best things about Maryland getting into the Big Ten was getting a chance to see Johnny on a more regular basis. I have tremendous respect for Johnny Holiday. Personally and professionally, he's just a good man. Great announcer, too. He's fabulous. A Maryland legend. Kevin Herr, Shikellamy legend. Shikellamy have a Hall of Fame?
Not that I'm aware of.
They should start one. You should be the first
inductee. I don't think I qualify.
Oh, sure, you've announced their games forever. They got longer history with them than anybody else.